This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Be your slave.
I'm a big open borders, you know, high taxes guy, so I love this Chuck Schumer. Actually, he defended our town a little bit. Let's hear him. He was on MSNBC this morning.
They were really exquisite. They were amazing.
Does that had to be hard?
Painful as that was. Painful as that was.
Painful.
I'm mad at the Rams for leaving St. Louis. I fought hard, as you know, to keep the Bills in Buffalo. These teams shouldn't get up and leave just to make more money.
Way to go, Chuck!
Chuck Schumer, Frank's guy,
yeah,
defending St. Louis. Thanks to Charlie Marlowe for monitoring MSNBC and letting us know that that clip played this morning.
In a few minutes, we'll hear from Elizabeth Warren on the Hollywood Casino Press Box.
What was the? I wonder what the context was.
Well,
I guess
talking about the Patriots and how much he must hate it to so he see was, them all those championships.
So he's an East Coast New York guy. So he was probably rooting for the Rams. To knock off the
Patriots. I mean, New York is a wannabe Boston. I mean, all they do is win in Boston. All they do is lose in New York.
Yeah. But Chuck Schumer, up late at night, bothered by the Rams, leaving St. Louis.
Good to hear.
Defending our town. That's Frank's guy.
Four more years, Chuck.
Also, a fashion alert. I believe tonight Frank is going turtleneck. Is that right?
Right, I am.
All right.
We'll be dialed up here. I'm going to watch a little Barnaby Jones before flipping over to check out Frank.
Going to make sure I have Howard Richards' Twitter account queued up.
Howard Richards, last time, I think, was poking the bear and then backed off and said, whoa, 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 I was giving you credit.
Yeah, because I did take a shot at him. Shane Ray, Wendell Ray, who played at Mizzou and played against Howard and teammates of Howard, too.
Shane Ray's dad, right?
Yes. Wendell posts these pictures all the time of Howard and the group, either from the PHL or from Mizzou. And I swear in one of them, I think Howard had a leisure suit on. So any clothing
probably
apparel,
did.
Yeah. He likes to fire back. So.
All right. Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University. A liberal arts institution, just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, true or false, there is no need for a National Weathercasters Day. Our building yesterday had cookies and cake. Everybody online saluting all of our great... I love our meteorologists. Every day is National Weathercasters Day. They get more time than us. They kind of run the show. I didn't get any of the cookies.
Can that be
cake.
Your TKO tonight?
I think I did it last year.
I ate some of the big cookie.
Oh, you
big
did?
Cookie, but I made sure I wasn't eating the part that said weather. I just ate a square in the corner.
Imagine us taking something from them.
Yeah.
After years of the reverse. Do we really need that? Is there a National Producers Day?
No.
Assignment
it
Editors
should be.
Day? What about all the hardworking photographers? Get Stasiak some cookies or cake. No, maybe not. He's had his cake.
Aw.
I forget every year that this exists until they celebrate their own day. Like, if there's a National Sportscasters Day, Frank and I wouldn't be announcing it. I mean, if you wanted to drop food off, that's fine.
Or turtleneck.
Or any day, really.
Free turtlenecks. All right, number two, your MLS-o-meter, is that what we're calling it? Encouraged, discouraged recent developments. They did go to New York and met with Don Garber, who has the best Twitter handle, @SoccerDon. That's pretty good. But what's your read on the latest? And it seems the corporate dollars is what they're kicking around right now that needs to be done. Are you still feeling optimistic?
I am, but it is St. Louis, and we've just been jilted at the altar so many times. I think anything can happen. You know, Sacramento's got the billionaire owner, but then you hear sketchy things about him, too. So, look, bottom line is if we can just get a little more corporate support, this... minority ownership, and then Jim Cavanaugh's background. We have just so many things going for us. It would be tough to believe. I'd put the odds at 60-40 that we get the team. How about you?
I want to hear more about the sketchy billionaire in Sacramento.
Yeah. I feel better than that, but I'm afraid to feel better than that. And I understand the whole process here. I guess if you just have a really rich owner who builds the stadium, they've got a little bit of public money. If you don't have people buying the suites or buying the signage, it's not a good setup for the team or for the league. I guess I understand that. It seemed like everything was in place, but that does make sense. That is a piece of this that needs to exist. Jim Cavanaugh continues to be, and he's not putting his cards out on the table, but he seems to be pretty confident throughout. Like, you haven't seen any poor mouthing or, well, I don't know if this is going to happen or not. I've not heard anything like that.
Yeah, in fact, when he spoke at the soccer park a week ago today, I believe, to the St. Luligans, they had a town hall rally that about 150 soccer people. And we
did you wear a scarf?
I did not. But he
would
just
go well with that turtleneck.
He just seems so, you're right, confidence is the way. So I just got a feeling Jim knows more than we know, and if he's pretty confident about it, then we should be too.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if at this point the fix is in? Like the NFL, the fix was in. St. Louis was toast. If the MLS, the fix is in, you're getting a team. Everybody knows it, okay? You're getting a team. It'd be great if that happened. All right, I don't want to be a wet blanket. That's sort of Brian's deal. This Blues mini momentum playoff push is exciting. But right now we're talking about that eighth and final spot. Let's say you do get in. You make it. It's a great turnaround to get in. Is being the eighth seed against the number one, Winnipeg, Nashville, whoever ends up being the top seed, and you get bounced right away, is that good enough?
Well, it's
I'm not,
not
being a wet blanket. I hope they make a great playoff push. 6-2-2 Blue will be here in the noon hour, peacocking around.
Yeah, I think that if you consider where they've been, if they were like the 30th team in the league for a while, and then since December they're like in the top six or seven, I think that's progress. Now, I will say this, it's probably not enough to save the coach's job. And I don't know how you see this, but if they got to the Western Conference Final, even Quinville's available, it'd be tough to say, oh, you're not good enough to stay here.
Yeah, if you get to the Western Conference Final after this horrific start, that's hard to turn your back on this guy. But if it's the Quinville buzz, I got to tell you, maybe he's now Berube's boss and Berube's the assistant. I don't know. That's I can't say no to Quinville, can I?
No.
And the likelihood of them going to the conference final is very, very small. So it's probably not an issue you have to worry about.
They play good against good teams, though.
Yeah.
And Binnington gives you like a little bit of hope, you know?
Isn't it crazy? Binnington 7-1-1 all time as an NHL starting goalie. And they have kind of quietly given him the job. They didn't announce it. It's 9 out of 12. And I've been complaining a lot when they don't play him. Any chance?
But you're not a hockey guy. You can't do
correct.
That.
Is there any chance Thursday night? Didn't we get texters saying that Berube had committed to Allen? I've not seen that anywhere else. Have you? That he said Allen would play Thursday? We were getting that yesterday.
How could he?
There's no way he would have said that.
Every point is so freaking precious now.
There's no way going into Tampa you roll out Jake Allen. There's just not.
And, you know, the interest level now with the Blues, just imagine how, I wouldn't say we didn't know they were playing, but our interest level was like a 2 or 3 there for a stretch. Now you just can't wait till Thursday night.
Correct. And you got the dads on the trip. They won't let us down.
Yeah,
they're 6-1.
Yeah.
All right, number 4, 5 for Frank, brought to you every day by Greenville University, that high-flying basketball program up there, greenville.edu. You are Travis Ford. If you're sitting up at night, what game keeps you up at night? Isn't it Richmond? You'd be 7-3 right now in the A-10 instead of 6-4.
Well,
isn't it Richmond?
When you got a guy, though, at the free throw line, and all you got to do is make 2 and you win.
You think it's Davidson?
Oh, I don't know. That's tough.
That's tied for first.
Yeah.
Just one game, whether you win that Davidson or that Richmond, both at home. Instead of 6-4, doesn't 7-3 seem a lot different than 6-4?
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is they're going to have to win the tournament to get in anyway. And you know what? Last night gave you the hope. You know, you had no hope before that game. You thought, boy, this thing is really going to end really sour. Now, all of a sudden, you think, you know what? Despite the fact that they only have 7 scholarship players, despite the fact they're not good shooters, nobody goes to the glass offensive rebounding-wise like them. And if they play hard and I don't know who I'd say the key is.
I mean, you need it. And Rammer was here yesterday and said, we need a couple of people to step up. So DJ Foreman playing well out of nowhere.
Yeah, Isabel helped. Is really a difference maker, too. I mean,
They seemed inspired, didn't they, last night?
Yeah,
that was
did.
A great effort.
Gosh, that was fun.
All right, number 5, best way to stick it to Kroenke is to do well as a city. True or false? Isn't that really
absolutely,
the answer? Instead of being bitter and hoping for his Rams team to lose, the best thing really is for our city to do well. And John Fuller, who tweets more than Rennie, You got to look at his account.
Really?
John Fulton, and I'm not picking on weather people today. He tweets more than Rennie, and he'll find stories that are interesting. And yesterday it was, St. Louis is a top 10 emerging industrial city. And all of the metrics and the studies say that we've got the workforce, we've got the warehouse space. We're an emerging industrial city. That's on top of being a great startup town for all these startups. So good things are happening. And that really is ultimately what you want to do. Instead of just going in the fetal position and crying and saying, Kroenke ripped on us, he picked on us, I hope his team loses. I really think the best way to answer Kroenke, isn't it, is just to do well as a city.
Yeah, have him show up here with his MLS team. I'm sure he won't. And see 25,000 in a new state-of-the-art stadium after the Cardinals are coming off another world championship and the Blues get to the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah, that'd be nice.
And John Fuller, by the way, he's a Twitter maniac. He only follows 8 people. It's really random. All right, I want to talk about an article that was written about Jason Tatum, St. Louis's own Jason Tatum, and it's a provocative title. It says, can Jason Tatum fulfill the shattered legacy of Len Bias? Something that has been discussed in Boston. And joining us now, the author of that column, Aaron Perlett, who is a St. Louis guy, and that piece was written for Bro Bible. Aaron, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, for those who don't know, tell us what Bro Bible is.
Bro Bible is online magazine largely focused on men. Average readers are typically 20s, early 30s. They reach about 15 million viewers every month.
Mm. Oh, interesting article. And what I find most fascinating is that they are similar in a sense in terms of their physique. I think Bias is a little bit more explosive and definitely more dynamic. Of course, he had 3 years at Maryland and Jason only had one. But I like the fact that they both emphasize the mid-range game. They just do – they're really, really complete players, and we don't see that often now, guys entering the NBA.
Yeah, I think what was really the soundbite that I got in that really touched me was that when I was talking with Jack McCallum, the legendary Sports Illustrated writer, and he talked about them as being the archetypal forwards of their generation because, you know, a lot of people who are listening probably don't remember Len Bias, and I know the three of us do, and he was such a remarkable talent, and it was such an absolute tragedy when he died 2 days after the Celtics drafted him with the number 2 pick. And you're right, Frank, he was such a specimen and a dominating just physical slasher who, I mean, his dunks were legendary, and you can find some great videos on YouTube about them. But they certainly have some differences, but they were both very strong mid-range players. They could make their own shots, get to the basket. I think Bias was certainly a little more physical than Tatum is. And I think, you know, when I was writing the piece, I was more getting to the spirit of, you know, the Celtics kind of lost a generation of success when Bias died because he was counted on by the team's leadership, Red Auerbach, and even Larry Bird to be kind of that next generational player for them. And when he died, it put them in a 10-year hole. And now, you know, obviously Danny Ainge over the past 20 years has really rebuilt the ship, starting with the big three, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen years ago. And now he's kind of done it again with this collection. And, you know, if Tatum stays there and doesn't get traded in the offseason, he is a foundational component of their future success.
Yeah, it's an interesting take for us who follow Tatum in St. Louis. I'm curious, in Boston, has this been brought up? Because some of those pieces over the years have been added. This is a kid homegrown at this point. Have they talked about this comparison in Boston?
They have. I actually did a bit of research, looking for comparatives to the two of them, and I've heard Bob Ryan, the legendary Boston Globe writer, talk about it. And there's a really interesting blog called Celtics Life that has actually done a specific comparison between the two and certainly found some differences and some similarities between their play and the way they play the game. So, yeah, I think, you know, people are kind of taking note of the similarities, but also just the opportunity that lies ahead for the Celtics when you have a young player like a Jason Tatum who, as you mentioned, you know, is a St. Louis product and always did everyone proud here. And it's just great to see him really meeting every expectation that was set for him before he left here, and then he went to Duke, and then obviously got picked at the number 3 pick in the draft.
And it's interesting because he has actually gotten, for the first time maybe in his career, a little bit of negative press because his shooting percentages, both from 2 and 3, are a little bit down. But he's still, you know, averaging about 16 points a game. Last night he exploded for 25. He's just not shooting the ball quite as well, and I think part of that is because of this team and the definition of roles. It's a little bit strange. All of a sudden, after that great run of the playoffs, they have two superstars back who are going to get more shots than Jason, or at least one in Kyrie Irving. So I still think he's headed for greatness. What's also fascinating is that, you know, if Anthony Davis doesn't end up in L.A., the Celtics will have the best package to offer New Orleans, and Tatum has to be included in that deal. So his time with this storied franchise, who knows, maybe a short one.
Yeah, and Frank, I think you bring up a really great point there, is that the depth that the Celtics have right now between established players and young players is really remarkable. And you can see you played basketball, from a chemistry standpoint, and basketball is a game of chemistry. They're really, that team right now is still trying to find its way now that Kyrie Irving is healthy and Gordon Hayward is healthy. And then they still have Jaylen Brown, who, you know, really blossomed into a tremendous player last year and has a lot of similarities, actually, to Tatum. They've got all this talent, and trying to figure out how to make it work together on the court is a very difficult proposition. And some people wonder whether they'd be more effective and Tatum would blossom more, you know, if Kyrie Irving leaves this summer, and people are talking about him possibly going to the Knicks.
Frank played, I played a little bit too, but anyway, not to the extent of Frank. Aaron Perlett is our guest. We're talking about Jason Tatum. Certainly his presence in Boston and in the NBA is engaged, I think, the local basketball fan a fair amount this year. Bradley Beal is going to an All-Star game second in a row. But I wanted to ask you something non-sports, because you sort of work in the, and I'm paraphrasing here, but in marketing, PR, sort of downtown St. Louis. And we talk a lot about Kroenke and the exit of the Rams, and that things are happening in our town. There is some growth going on. You know, a lot of that was written during the Super Bowl last week. What's your take on downtown and what's happening?
You know, it's fascinating. I spend more time in downtown than I do anywhere else because my office is in downtown, and I have two businesses in downtown, in fact. And, you know, I see downtown is really starting to grow and to blossom and has such potential. And I think it's simply, you know, it's funny. I've lived here 13 years, and the people who tend to be most down on St. Louis are native St. Louisans. There's this kind of collective chip on people's shoulders. And I think, you know, instead of just simply coming down for a Cardinals or Blues game, there's a lot to do in downtown, and downtown is growing, and we're seeing it with things like Union Station and the renovation of the Arch. And the new aquarium that's going to come to downtown, and the City Museum, and all the restaurants that are downtown. There's a tremendous amount to do. And the reality is that if you look across the nation at cities and regions, regions are only as strong as their core. And that core is dependent on support from, you know, our 2.9 million residents that are in the metro area between on the Missouri and the Illinois side. And so, you know, there's a tremendous amount to do there, but it's also incumbent on our entire community to support downtown and understand that it's in their best interest for downtown to blossom as well.
Give us a little insight, too. I don't know if you know, but with the aquarium, do I understand this right? Is that Union Station is going to be like one giant aquarium?
Yeah, Union Station is in the process of completely remaking itself. It's, you know, you might not be able to tell from the outside, but this is going to be a state-of-the-art aquarium that's going to take up, you know, the old mall portion of Union Station.
Wow.
While they've already done a remarkable renovation in the hotel piece of the facility. And, you know, it's also they put on enormous conferences and meetings there too. So it's just got a great multifunctional aspect to it. The Polar Express has become actually really one of the hallmark events for families in the region with young kids, that these things book up almost in a few hours. And Union Station is really, LHM Group is doing a tremendous job in kind of reimagining and repurposing that entire space.
Aaron, thanks for hopping on with us. And if folks want to check out the piece, Can Jason Tatum Fulfill the Shattered Legacy of Len Bias? They can go to brobible.com and read more. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
And I know Aaron mentioned he's lived here 13 years in sort of a marketing end on Washington Avenue, a lot of stuff that involves the city. It's amazing when people come from out of town and say the negativity is more so people who are from here than the out-of-town people
yeah.
who see potential. It really is our sort of our sad legacy.
I wonder if a good barometer to see if the city is doing okay will be just the percentage of people that get apartments at Ballpark Village.
And they claim that they're trending
well, yeah.
ahead of the curve. And maybe it's not the best barometer just because it's Cardinal baseball and there's so many sheep out there, God bless them all, who will do anything Cardinal-related.
And your contention is that a percentage of them will just have an apartment downtown as a second residence.
Most
people have second residence in like Miami.
I honestly, and I don't know what percentage it will be, I think there are people. I mean, for example, our guy Chris Doerr that owns Patios, they own the building next door, and there are a handful of apartments in there. And one of the tenants that has a year-round apartment in the Patios building lives in like Decatur, Illinois, or something, but is a big Cardinal fan and comes to a lot of games. So that's not what I'm basing it on. I do think you'll have some retirees that live in Oklahoma or Iowa that love the Cardinals that may end up
wow.
spending their summers down there. I don't know. I can't prove that, but I do think they'll sell well. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it. I mean, name one thing the DeWitts have done
that,
where they
yeah.
haven't made money. You can say, well, they haven't been in the playoffs the last couple of years. They haven't spent enough money.
Dexter Fowler contract.
Right, Dexter Fowler. But they didn't go under because of it. They were able to survive.
Mike Leake.
They were still able to.
Cecil.
Well, Frank, you played baseball. You know. He's accurate. Frank did play college basketball, but I felt very dismissed from the conversation. Well, Frank, you would know.
Yeah,
I mean, Frank,
right.
You know, you played basketball.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm talking about.
We used to love having Gary Link on. Well, Frank, you were a great player.
That's
Gary,
right.
I used to tell Brian, yes. Book him every week. He doesn't know what he's talking about me, but let's book him. So,
Frank, real quick, I know you understand this because you played basketball at a high level. Gary Link, I always imagined talking like he did during the broadcast, where you had about 6 seconds to get in your thought before the ball got to half court.
And the answer to the Gary Link, where are you question? Tolton High School is the junior varsity basketball coach where the Porters.
Now, who should we book for Martin? For someone can sing, Martin, you're a high level.
Probably somebody drinking or eating, you know. That, well, you like to drink and eat, right?
A Marquette tavern owner up there.
Yeah,
there
yeah. Go. Maybe somebody from the, is the Avalanche gone? Real Chili is still there.
Real Chili is still there.
Yeah, some of the great spots.
Speaking of chili, you know, at Carl's, they have some really good chili, too. Boy, you put it on there.
Pretty good tamales as well.
Hot dogs.
It's about 11:46. Frank's thoughts sort of shift to food, not surprisingly.
A Carl's burger is a great errand running burger to where you can just, pick it up to go right there. Just
why don't we have one
you...
of our interns? Oh, we don't have an intern.
Yeah. Well, Solomon's got like a little factory over there. I don't know what they do, but can we send them out for food?
No doubt.
When Maurice Drummond, I think he was a producer in D.C. I don't think he was an intern, but he was a producer. And Warner Wolf, the famous sports guy, was in D.C. And first of all, the business has changed a great deal because I think Mo said that Warner Wolf was on like at 6 and 11. And he said he would do the 6 o'clock sports and then he would go to a movie. And come back a few hours.
A movie?
He'd go to a movie and come back, and the producer would give him his scripts or whatever.
And he was probably making a million a year.
Yeah,
too.
I mean,
the
just
thing ever.
Crazy. But they would bring in interns, and Maurice said he would see the interns. And he wouldn't know their names. He'd just say, food guy. And he called them all food guy, and they were in charge of running out and getting him food.
Ooh,
that was
need.
Their internship.
Need food guy?
Yes.
Sound guy?
Hey, you're a food guy. Like, Frank's a basketball guy. You're a food guy. Can you run down to Carl's for us?
Now you look at the interns. All right, you're our camera guy for the day. Get in the back.
Plus, you understand. You're a big errand guy. You know what it's like to run errands. You understand.
All right, let's take a short time out before we go to break. Maryville University wants to remind everybody that that's a school you should check out. You should take a look at this gorgeous campus in Town and Country. And they're continuing to build a more diverse and inclusive campus. It's a core value of the institution. Go to maryville.edu. Maryville.edu. We'll be right back.